Run, 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 run to get online. Listen to good news all the time. If you're looking for news that makes you feel so fine, tune into good news when you get online. Life-affirming, thought-provoking stories and more. News that makes you smile before you walk out the door. If you're looking for news to enrich your mind, tune into good news when you get online. Run, 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 run to get online. Listen to good news all the time. Run, 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 run to get online. Goodnewsbroadcast.com.
Okay, hey, hi, Paul Slackus, Good News Broadcast. Welcome. This is a little bit different, this show, because we're here out in Montauk at the Montauk Manor. And I love it out here. I've been coming out here for many, many years. And we also have a column in the Montauk Sun. So the reason why today's an important day is that we're here. We have the opportunity to make new things happen. And we have a lot of good news to share. Sometimes good news is not only on, you know, happy, happy, happy. Because today's a health day. But good news is to know about health conditions, about a healthier living, about wellness. And so we today are featuring NASH, which is for non-alcoholics fatty liver. And we did a wonderful interview with the president and founder of an organization and two organizations. And we're going to show that. And we also have something from WebMD to learn about fatty liver, because fatty liver, one out of four people potentially has a fatty liver. And some of the concepts about how you can possibly get rid of it as much as you can, and how you might have gotten it. So maybe you won't get it. That's good news, right? Health is wealth, okay? So that's going to be our, a little bit of our first story, about 10 minutes or so. Then I saw something on Upworthy, and Lucia Knell had something in LinkedIn where they're talking about some positive Upworthy, positive content, good news, so on and so forth. And within there, they had something with this Russell Bland. He's a smart guy talking about, you know, with coronavirus and this times that we're living, it's very stressful. So you can OD, overdose, on too much of the content that's out there, that some of it and most of it and lots of it, you can't do anything about. It's stressful. So it suggests that take a look at what your media habits are. So I think that's an important segment as well. And so also liver is important for any kind of coronavirus as well. So you got to take care of your liver. All right. There's alcoholic and non-alcoholic. But in general, you don't want to have a bad liver. Then a third segment is going to be on, we have something on a therapist and happens to be a horse and goes into senior residents and hospitals and makes people more joyful. So, you know, and then Claire Diab, our wonderful host of the American Yoga Academy and the founder, so smart, will share some yoga with us all. So, you know, I don't think I forgot anybody, but I want to make sure. No, I didn't, okay? So, I'm first going to take a little tour. I have a place out in Montauk, which I've had for many, many years, and it rents out as an apartment in this beautiful Montauk Manor, okay? And so you're all welcome to come and be here or whatever. It's a hotel. It costs some money. But I want to, like, give a tour of it right now because I'm looking to rent it out for maybe the summertime, if possible. So let's just take a little walk through the place, okay? Okay, here we go. Kaboom. All right, so we're going to start. You know, we're going to start in the downtown down bedroom downstairs. In case anybody's looking for a place to get away from, we just redid the bathroom, and that's cool. This is the living room. This is the kitchen. So you come in, and we have these very high ceilings. And you walk in. And the ceiling is about 30, 40 feet. It's, since we're on the top floor, out there is the Gardner's Bay. And you can see the sunset, which is magnificent. All summer long. And it's a duplex kind of a place, so we have stairs, and the outside of the Montauk Manor is really special. It's a resort. We have tennis courts, and the people running it are just fantastic. A lot of closet space, so it sleeps 6 to 8 people. You can put a crib here. They have cribs, and that's the whole story. So we just redid the bathrooms beautifully with a bar in there, and you know, they take good care. Wonderful people. Got a little skylight up there, little fan. So we welcome you. So let's go to the video of the Nash people, and welcome to my home. And we love you, and only wish you health and happiness, and much success in life, and love. All right, thank you very much. Take care.
You got to clean up your social media feed. You got to find things that you need and you don't need. You got to clean up your social media feed. Clean up all of that stuff that's making you have a negative idea of yourself. I learned this off Megan Jane Crabb. I don't want nothing negative at all. I want unmitigated adulation on my feed. Like, I would just like it to say, you're a very nice man, you're doing well, that's a perfectly acceptable scarf you're wearing, carry on with the good work. Because, you know, don't you generate enough negativity in your own consciousness without finding external systems to replicate it? Let's accept that these new technologies are affecting us psychologically in ways that we could not have anticipated, that we have given intimate access to our spirits and our psyches to corporations that see us only as, well, people that they can sell stuff to. I don't mean they're evil or anything. I recognise this is on Instagram or Twitter, all of whom are advertising-based models that primarily use this data to sell stuff to you. I recognise that. I feel that you have to learn how to use these things responsibly. Like, we've got enough experience now as consumers. Don't you remember when cigarettes came out? Everyone, hello, I'm a doctor. 10 cigarettes a day makes me the better doctor I could be. You know, we know now that people just lie about products and conceal the negative impact they had. And the same will be true with this. How I do it is I only give myself very, very limited access. I've turned that thing on my phone that tells you, you've been looking at the phone for 12 hours today. What the fuck are you doing with your life? And you're, oh my God, Jesus, was I sending emails? Am I listening to podcasts that are telling and meditation apps? Or am I actually just staring at a negative feed telling me that I'm not good enough? You must learn to curate your feed. You must learn to monitor the amount of time you spend on social media platforms. And I appreciate you giving us a minute to watch this, and I hope we've not done anything except you make you feel beautiful and brilliant and particularly special, because that is what you are. Hello, I'm doing these new videos more frequently now. Please hit the notification button at the end of this video, because then you'll get a little bell when I post a new video, and I'd like you to get a little bell when I post a video. Then I can, I don't know, be buzzing away in your pocket. Sounds like I'd be like a little pocket mosquito. Anyway, subscribe, click the bell, because I want more people to watch the YouTube videos. You, specifically.
Hi, Paul Sackett's Good News Broadcast. I'm speaking with the founder, Donna Cryer, of CEO of Global Liver Institute. Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. And Wayne Estridge is... Oh, it's nice to get a chance to speak with you again. Wayne Estridge is the Fatty Liver Foundation President and CEO. Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Ah, very good, thanks.
Great. All right, well, we've done a lot of shows on coronavirus and how it affects other parts of the body, and maybe it affects the liver. Or the liver affects the coronavirus or whatever. We're not sure about a lot of things, I guess, in this world sometimes. Tell us a little about your organization. Is fatty liver, is the liver involved with coronavirus somehow?
Oh, well, that's something that people don't really get, because you see in discussions of the virus that people are dying who have pre-existing conditions, and they don't talk much about the fact that the liver is probably involved in the majority of those. They mention diabetes and heart disease, but you know, type 2 diabetics, 70% of them have fatty liver disease. So it is comorbid with COVID and is a frequent contributor to mortality and to really bad courses of disease. But and one of the reasons that we want to teach people about NASH is that nobody knows about it. It's not a disease that's commonly understood. It's basically, if you have two friends, one of you has a fatty liver, and that's kind of a startling statistic to most people. It develops because of fat infiltration in the liver, because of our lifestyle and our sedentary habits and our diet, and when it becomes fibrosis, it develops scar tissue in the liver, and that's what we call NASH. And that ends up as cirrhosis, which I'm personally a patient of, and that led me into forming the foundation. But, you know, the real message of the day, you know, is NASH Day is next week, the 12th of June, and that part of our mission is to educate people through NASH Day about NASH and just try to spread the word that it's a serious problem even without COVID.
Uh-huh. And what does NASH stand for?
Non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So that's a big mouthful, but it just means scar tissue in the liver.
Uh-huh. Wayne, what's concerning this year, though, about the NASH Day?
I guess I'll take that question since the Global Liver Institute is the convener for International NASH Day, which at this point comprises work with 50 different partner organizations around in about 20 different countries. We're really excited that we have been endorsed by the two major hepatology or liver doctor organizations in the U.S. and Europe. And we have 30 speakers who are really providing the backbone of the day of June 12th, where we'll have six different virtual panels, six different webinars on topics related to different aspects of NASH. So whether that's the fact that children can have NASH, and or it is the issue of NASH with the concurrent diseases like diabetes and obesity, as Wayne has been discussing. So it's really exciting and even more urgent today, this year, during this pandemic, where so much attention, of course, has been elsewhere. But as Wayne, you know, so well articulated, you know, patients who are diagnosed with COVID, their liver enzymes are going up. So almost every COVID patient becomes a liver patient. And then those of us who already have underlying liver diseases are at greater chance for adverse events. And so much care and research and screening have been delayed because of the reallocation of healthcare resources and attention to COVID, that it's really important that we put a stake in the ground and we have a day, a moment to stop and really think about what NASH patients need and how we can, even in this era of COVID, because, you know, it's not a week, not a month, it's this ongoing new normal. So how can we safely get patients screened? And we know we can. There are new non-invasive technologies like liver multi-scan and others that you can deliver safely in and even during this COVID environment, that there's care that can be safely delivered. There are clinical trials that need to continue, and that there are, you know, drug approvals that still need to move forward. So drawing attention on June 12th is even more important in 2020 than it was in 2019.
I have a question for either one of you. Non-alcoholics, how does somebody know? I have a fatty liver, and I only have a fatty liver because I went and I got a sonogram, okay, because I had some pain in that area. And at least that's how I learned I have a fatty liver. Maybe there's other ways, I don't know. In any case, but I'm not an excessive drinker, but I've drank. How does somebody know whether they're an alcoholic fatty liver or a non-alcoholic fatty liver?
That's really a distinction made by medicine, because the result is the same either way. You get the same effect on the liver from alcohol or from steatohepatitis, but they have chosen to include the alcoholic or non-alcoholic, which we think is a real problem because it distorts people's concern about the whole thing. They're basically the same disease. There are minor differences in the liver itself about just where the damage occurs, but they're indistinguishable as they get into the end stages.
I think about it as different toxic. I would think about it as different toxic effects on the liver. So you can have liver damage from too much acetaminophen, for example. That's a toxic, assault on the liver. You can have liver damage from, too much, food and sugar over time. That's a toxic effect on the liver. You can have too much alcohol, and that could have a toxic effect on the liver. And so, we're doing increasing, research as to genetic markers and other things that may have different predispositions. There are autoimmune liver diseases. Viral hepatitis is another type of, a viral assault on the liver. So, what's less important is the particular cause of the damage, but just acknowledging and getting people screened in to recognize that there is some type of process that is damaging the liver. And whatever it is, whether it's a virus or alcohol or fat, really helping people to stop that assault so that the liver can have a chance to heal and regenerate. And if it is already too damaged, then that perhaps they're a candidate for transplant, or hopefully soon we'll have medications on the market. But that's more important than trying to figure out or blame folks or do a fine tune. Just recognize that an assault has sort of overcome the liver's processes for self-healing.
And it's not good to be overweight, is it?
It's not.
Not good.
Not good. That's the way that my doctor says it's the only way that I can maybe make this a little better on myself. I don't know if that's so, but...
Yeah, well, that was really my story. I was an American fat guy. I put on a pound or two a year for 50 years, and in the end, I damaged my liver, and so I had to lose a whole bunch of weight in order to manage it. So that really is critical that people understand that.
Where do we go on the 12th to tune in? Can we?
On the 12th, you can go to globalliver.org. We'll have information on signing up for all the different webinars, as well as the Global Liver Institute Twitter and Instagram and Facebook sites. We'll have everything people need to engage.
All righty. Well, thank you both very much. Don, thanks for sharing on the steering committee also, Rare Disease Diversity Steering Committee on the Black Women's Health as well, imperative. All right, you two are both doing wonderful things and for a long time, and I congratulate you, and it's always a good moment to get a few minutes with you to share the good stuff that you're doing. Thanks for the good news.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.
This is a very important section of the DVD. These are helpful hints that will help you and protect you. So, most important is that you're breathing deeply throughout the entire session, breathing in and out through our nostrils. And we want to make sure that we keep our tongue at an energy point called fire point. So, this energy point is on the ridge of the upper gum behind your two front upper teeth. This prevents you from clenching your teeth, tightening the jaw, and this can be done throughout the day, and especially when you're going to work, when you're on the job, when you're in a stressful situation, tongue at fire point, but best to keep it there all the time, except when eating and speaking. The fire point is, again, I'll just demonstrate, on the ridge of the upper gum. Your mouth is shut, so no one sees it, okay? And it's just gently the tip of the tongue just connects with the fire point. It's like connecting this really powerful circuit of energy that flows up the back of the body and down the front. And when you're on and off the job, climbing stairs, in that situation where there's, you know, some tenseness and stress, remember, tongue at fire point. It's very, very powerful. And through the whole routine, tongue at fire point, and all day long, except when you're eating and speaking. And if you do this right before you go to sleep, you won't grind your teeth. So it takes some practice and getting used to, but it's really powerful.